Chapter 39. Nia woke very early the next morning. It was bright and sunny, and after the stress of the party, it was good to feel the warmth of a new day. She pushed back her curtains and saw Jade opposite looking out. They waved to each other, and Jade mimed swim, and Nia gave her a thumbs up. Jade then held up five fingers, mouthed 5 minutes. Nia felt Romeo next to her, all ready to go, wagging his tail. Come on, then. It's beach time. Hooray for Sunday. A day off. Nia left the house, glanced around the close. She paused. Something was different. No curtains were closed. There was an air of a close that hadn't slept. But no, she was letting her imagination get away from her. When Jade came running over, Nia shook off the feeling of unease, and they left together. Jade had suggested they go to the Compton, and they drove to the car park at Hanover Point and went down onto the dog-walking end of the beach. It wasn't until they were in the water that Jade pointed far along the beach. Look, there are police down there. I wonder what's up. Maybe it's kids getting into trouble, using drugs, that kind of thing. I can't see why they would have cordoned off the road for that, though. They swam for a while and sat drying themselves. So have you got over the trauma of last night? Said Jade. You were quiet on the way back. It was all pretty exhausting, wasn't it? It was. I didn't tell you, but I found Joe down the garden. He was in such a state. Really? Yes, it was so sad. I told him I knew about him being gay. I wanted to help him. Oh, God, he must have been so angry. Does he think I told you? No, I told him I'd guessed. I gently warned him that I think other people are starting to suspect. Richie seemed to have a good idea, that's for sure. It won't be long until someone says something to his parents. He should be the one to do that. I agree, but he doesn't see it like that. And it's his prerogative. We know that, but him putting his head in the sand won't stop people dropping hints to his parents. I fear I touched a nerve, though, because when I said that to him, he went mad, seemed to assume I was threatening to tell them. He stormed off in the end. Jade sat back, resting her hands on the sand. What a mess! And it's all so unnecessary. I said that. Look, but I was wondering, am I being naive? Is it harder to come out over here on the island? Jade shook her head. No, I have friends who are gay. They tend to go clubbing more on the mainland, but their families are fine. Everyone accepts it. So why is Joe being like this? I don't know. Maybe he needs to talk to someone. There are support groups over here. Maybe I should have been a bit more proactive with him. I'll talk to him, see if I can help. I think that would be good. Jade looked again down the beach. The police are still there. What's going on, do you think? No idea. Nia looked at her phone. It's only 6. For goodness sake, what are we doing in the sea this time in the morning? I might even go back to bed. I'm too old for all the late nights and parties. She called Romeo, and they made their way back to the car and drove home. To their surprise, when they returned to the close, they saw a police car parked by the vets. What the heck is going on? Exclaimed Jade. They instinctively walked up to White's together. Inside, they saw Lucy, Ian, and Richie huddled around a table with Joe. Jade pushed open the door and, looking out at the police car, asked, What the hell? Joe gestured to come and sit down. Nia took one look at the shock on their faces and knew that something terrible had happened.
Hugo, Elvira's ex, had a terrible accident last night, said Ian.
To Nia's eyes, he had aged years since she last saw him. He was frighteningly pale, and his usually bright blue eyes were red with dark rings under them. His hands trembled as he played with his bottom lip. Lucy, next to him, sat very still, her hands clasped together, staring ahead.
I'm afraid he's dead, said Ian, and sat up, clearly ready to explain. After you left the party last night, a group of us decided to go up to the cliffs at Compton. There is such a beautiful view over the bay if you drive down and park at the farm. No one was too drunk. Actually, it was all very pleasant. Hugo walked away from us, and as it started getting cold, we began talking about leaving. It was only then we noticed Hugo was missing.
His voice broke. He looked down.
We all put the torches on our phones, and we finally made out Hugo quite a way down the cliffside, said Joe. We were all shouting, said Ian. Ethan stayed the calmest. He rang for an ambulance. Of course, they had to send all sorts. The paramedics managed to get to him. The fire service came as well, but they were too late. He was dead. A helicopter came in the end to take him away.
Oh, my God, said Jade. We went for a swim earlier down the other end and saw the police. Obviously, we had no idea what had happened. So who was there? All of you?
There was me and some of my sailing friends, said Joe. And then Lucy, Ian, Ethan, Elvira, Richie. I suppose it was about a dozen of us altogether. We all went to the police station and gave statements, but it was dark, so hard to tell where anyone was. None of us was anywhere near him, though, were we?
The group all shook their heads. Nia heard a car pulling away and saw the police car leaving, and a moment later, Ethan and Elvira came in.
What did they say? Asked Ian. Not a lot. They wanted to talk to us because of Elvira's history with Hugo. They thought she might know more about him. As for the accident, we know no more than you. It was dark. Elvira knows even less, as she stayed in the car park. She was video calling a friend. She only realised something was up when they saw the police and ambulance arrive.
Elvira stood very still, her face frozen. Ethan put his arm around her, guided her to a seat. Joe gave her coffee.
What happens now? Jade asked.
The police officer we spoke to said he'd come back at lunchtime to see us all. I hope it's all right, Joe. I suggested we meet here. Of course, that's fine. I am closing the place today. Mum and Dad are upset. I'm going to see them soon, but we'll come back at lunchtime.
They continued going over the events of the evening until Joe said he was going to have to shut things up, and they all silently returned to their homes. Nia showered and made breakfast, but all the while, all she could think about was Hugo's accident. Did he fall down the cliff, or was he pushed? She tried to think who in the close might have any reason to want Hugo dead. The obvious person was Elvira, but Ethan had said she was nowhere near him when he fell. Nia then thought of Ethan himself. Had he killed Hugo out of jealousy? Lucy and Ian seemed to have little reason to hurt Hugo. Richie knew him better, but why would he want to hurt him? There was Joe, of course. Richie had hinted that Hugo knew about Joe. Was it possible that Hugo might even have tried to blackmail Joe? It would give Joe plenty of motive for killing Hugo. Still, maybe it was all just a horrible accident. Nia was so deep in thought that she nearly missed a quiet knock at the door. When she opened it, she found Elvira standing there, her arms hanging limply by her sides. Suddenly, Nia felt desperately sorry for her. Come in, sit down, she said. Elvira sat in an armchair, picked up a cushion and cuddled it.
Everything has gone wrong.
She buried her head in her hands, then shook her head, wiped her eyes and sniffed.
Look, firstly, I have to apologise, she stammered. I shouldn't have spoken to you the way I did last night. I've been so stressed lately. Nothing is going right, and now this.
Her eyes filled with tears again. You must be in shock.
Why does death seem to follow me? First Ruby and now Hugo, it's horrible. It's like I have some power, as if people I fall out with just die.
You'd had an argument with Hugo.
It's far more complicated than that. I know you got the wrong idea when you saw me meeting him. That was nothing to do with love. The truth was, Hugo was blackmailing me.
Nia stared. Blackmail?
Why would he be blackmailing Elvira? As if reading her mind, Elvira began to explain.
As you know, Hugo and I were engaged. I was infatuated. I'd nabbed the man everyone else wanted. The only person who didn't think he was wonderful was Ruby, and I assumed she was jealous. Anyway, I made a really stupid mistake. Hugo and I had gone out one evening. I'd had an exhausting day, and I'd just settled down with a glass of wine in a cosy pub when I realised I'd left my phone at the surgery. Hugo offered to go back and get it for me. I know I shouldn't have done it, but I was so tired. I knew everything would be locked up by then, and so I gave him the security code for the alarm. He went and got my phone for me, and I thought no more about it. A few weeks after then, there was a break-in at the surgery. It happened one afternoon when we had all gone to an emergency meeting at a neighbouring practice. We were only told about this the night before. I had seen Hugo that night and told him about it. When we returned from the meeting and realised there'd been a break-in, I had this horrible feeling that somehow Hugo may be behind it. I knew that he had sold drugs in the past. We'd talked about ketamine. The police arrived and they talked to the senior partner. It was then I received a message from Hugo threatening me to make sure I kept him out of it, or he would take me down with him. I realised if he wanted to, he could implicate me in the break-in. I had given him all the information he needed. I was so stupid. I lied to the police, told them I had no idea who could have been involved. Once I'd lied, he had me. He could hold that against me as proof of my guilt. We spoke that evening, and he told me that as long as I continued to keep quiet, that was the end of it. I broke up with him and moved. I thought everything was over between us. Not long after I came here, he started texting me. When he heard I was engaged, he came over, demanded to see me, and said unless I gave him money, he would tell Ethan that I had been involved in the break-in at the vet's. Hugo asked me for a one-off payment of £1,000. I'm not wealthy, but I gave him the money. That was a huge mistake, because then he could tell Ethan I was giving him money. It made me look guilty. He knew we had a wedding coming up, and he told me to get as much money off Ethan as I could, so I ended up pawning my engagement ring. Elvira had spoken surprisingly calmly up till now, but at this point she burst into tears again. Hugo knew how much that ring meant to me, but he didn't care. All he wanted was money.
Nia shook her head. She had got so much wrong about Elvira. And that is why you have a wedding dress from a charity shop?
Exactly. You saw the album I showed everyone at the drinks party. That would be my dream. Hugo stole it all.
Did Ethan have any idea about this? He must have suspected something, surely. Elvira nodded.
He'd guessed something was up, but he had no idea what. Apparently he'd even followed me some evenings. I'd not known any of this until he told me this morning. He was embarrassed and hadn't known what to do.
So he'd seen you with Hugo?
Yes. He first followed me the night after Ruby's outburst at our engagement drinks at White's on that Sunday.
Ethan followed you the night Ruby died?
He did. He went to the rescue centre and then came to the nursing home and followed me. Of course, I didn't see Hugo that night. He was over at Petunia's party. I didn't want to just drive home. Ethan had always thought I should make shorter visits to Mum and said I should relax on a Sunday evening. I'd persuaded him she needed me there. I thought it was best not to disrupt the routine, and so drove round to a pub in Freshwater instead. I did bump into some clients, actually, and sat with them playing board games until late. They asked me where Ethan was, and I explained about his work at the rescue centre. We were chucked out at midnight, and I came home. Unknown to me, of course, Ethan had been following me and sat somewhere in the pub I couldn't see him. I know he hung about because he was able to tell me the names of the people who joined us about 11. He stayed until I left. I thought it was a bit of a coincidence, him coming up the close just after I'd parked. Now it all makes sense.
But he didn't see you with Hugo that night. No, he was still uneasy, and so he followed me the following Sunday, and that's when he saw Hugo. He was shocked, but says he was worried more than suspicious. He saw me give Hugo money. He thought I was feeling sorry for him. He never even thought about blackmail. Anyway, a couple of weeks later, he planned to follow me again, but then he said he saw you and abandoned the idea and went home. He's been trying to summon up the nerve to ask me about everything, but instead he asked Hugo what was going on at Joe's party. But of course Hugo didn't tell him. How did he react when you told him everything? He was so lovely. He'd not suspected me of still being in love with Hugo even for a minute. I should have spoken to him sooner. And he told me he'd been keeping secrets too. Nia looked up. Their eyes met. Yes, Ethan told me you knew about the gambling. I was upset when he confessed it to me. Do you think he has a problem with betting? He's nothing like my father was. He showed me the books. We're not in terrible debt. He's not been using the work account or anything terrible like that. But he did say he could see how it could become a problem, and he's promised he will stop the online stuff and the poker games now. We're going to do the accounts and our money together now. Keep tabs on each other. Nia smiled. I'm glad you've sorted it out.
So am I.
Ruby being right, we should have talked a lot more to each other. One thing we both agreed on was that I need to go and get my ring back. We can just about afford for me to do that. We'll have to be careful with the wedding plans, but we can manage it. And I have cash that I was saving to give to Hugo. What about your dream wedding? All those pictures in the album? I've realised that none of that matters now. All that is important is that Ethan and I get married. No one can stop that now.
Elvira screwed up her eyes.
And before you ask, I had nothing to do with Hugo's death. I may have had good reason to want him out of the way, but I have witnesses to say I was well away from him when he fell. Thank God I was on the phone. And if your mind turns to Ethan, I can tell you he was stood with another friend all the time they were up on the cliffs. Neither of us would kill anyone, you have to believe that. And that, of course, goes for Ruby as well. I can give you the names of the people I was with at the pub. They can verify I was there.
Elvira sat back.
I think I should explain that I was the person who rang the helpline and spoke to Ruby, before I realised it was her. I had told her I was being blackmailed by my ex, and I didn't know what to do. She recognised my voice, said my name. I panicked, and I said to her, "If you tell anyone this, Ruby, I'll kill you."
Nia gasped.
"I know," said Elvira. "It was a wicked thing to say, of course. Then, when she died, I felt so guilty."
"You must have been very frightened that she might tell someone. Tell me, did you make that voodoo doll to scare her?"
"God, no. I've no idea who did that. Didn't Joe suggest Lucy? She's a funny one. It could be her. But no, I didn't do that. I just said those horrible words, and I will forever wish I hadn't."
Elvira stood up.
"Sorry, that was a long story. But I'm glad I've told you. I'm sorry I've threatened you, but I was frightened. I love Ethan very much. The one thing I am frantic to do is get my ring back. I'd drive in today if I wasn't so shattered. Also, I don't want Ethan asking me where I am going."
Nia could see the desperation in her face. "If you want, I could drive you."
"No, I couldn't ask you to do that."
"I don't mind at all. But are you sure it's open on a Sunday?"
"Yes, I've checked."
"Come on, then. It won't take long." And so they left together and drove into town. Nia was excited to visit the shop. She'd never been in a pawn shop before. However, nothing could have prepared her for what she would find that morning.